Adama, where heaven and earth have met. Since the day our Blessed Mother visited her cousin Elizabeth, she has never stopped visiting her people and care for them in time of need, reminding them of the gospel of her son. This happened in Guadalupe, Mexico, and then in Lourdes, France. Let us now hear what was the purpose and message of her visitation in Fatima on every 13th of the month from May to October in 1917. Here now is the director of Radio Maria Canada, Father George Amaro.
Welcome, brothers and sisters, to this new program about Fatima. We are at the episode 36, and we have seen extensively what the relationship was with the popes and Fatima, and we can retain from that unlike other apparitions like Guadalupe, even Lourdes, the popes were very much involved in Fatima right from the beginning, I could say, and you heard me saying that they even provoked it. It was on 1917, the Pope at that time, Benedict XV, that asked for a Marian intervention, and he gave it as done, and that his faith in Mary led him to say that she will do something, and indeed she did something. She came with a plan for peace. He was asking for peace, certainly. In the middle of the First World War, he was asking for peace, her intervention, so that the peace would be a reality, would come about. And indeed, she came up with a plan for peace 8 days after. And right from there, I mean, the popes have seen providence in that. And so they somehow they approved Fatima long before the local bishop did, because the way it is customary in the Catholic Church, first the local bishop approves, first the local bishop goes through it, studies it, and then he approves it, and then the Vatican says some word about it too. But the popes were already very much positive and giving signs that they were in favor long before there was any approval from the church, the local church. So here we are at this, and also since the Pope started to travel, first one, as far as I can see, Pius the 12th did not really travel much. The one who started big travels was Paul the 6th. As far as I know, he went to the Philippines, he went to the United Nations, and he came to Fatima for the 50 years anniversary of the apparitions of Fatima in 1967. And since then, all the popes have been coming to Fatima, and those who could not come because their pontificate was so small, even Roncalli, he came to Fatima as a cardinal, and then John Paul I, that was from the same diocese as Cardinal Roncalli, from Venezia, Patriarchate of Venezia, both came as cardinals, so even John Paul I came, but not as Pope. And then Paul VI came, John Paul II came three times, as we know, and Benedict came twice. And after Benedict, we have Pope Francis that came once, and to celebrate the centenary and the canonization of the little kids, Jacinta and Francisco. And he even now the pontificate in which we are, Pope Francis, he even consecrated this pontificate to Fatima. So although Fatima, as I believe, it's very much over, you see, the point, the Fatima is very much over in according to Ratzinger, to the last secret, and also the last protagonists of Fatima that were Pope John Paul II and Lucia, they died in the same year. So Lucia died in February, I believe, 2005, and 2 months late, in April, Jean Paul II died, passed away too. So, and I believe, since the last secret was about a pope being killed, that was the fulfillment of Fatima. And this pope that was almost killed, because he was, as I told you many times, he was the fourth shepherd. And he was an instrument in the hands of our Blessed Mother, so to make accomplishment, so that the prophecies would be accomplished. The prophecies that she did in 17, that were accomplished throughout the 20th century. And so, in a way, Fatima is closed, so that's what we believe. But unless there is something to do with the name Fatima, then Fatima should be closed. Was it providential? Was it meant to be that in all Portugal, Our Lady chose this place that is called Fatima? And Fatima, that is the beloved daughter of Prophet Mohammed. And it's beloved, although, you know, the Prophet Mohammed was not very much fond of women in such a giving women power. But Prophet Mohammed did not have male kids that reach adulthood. And so only the male kids that reach adulthood are not from him. They are from Fatima. So that's why he valued very much Fatima, his daughter. And, well, that place is called Fatima. We have already gone into the reasons why that place is called Fatima. And then is there a mean that Our Lady appeared in this place because there is something hidden in the name, something that regards relationships between Muslims and Christians in the future? Is there anything that is hidden? If it is hidden, it is hidden. But that our Blessed Mother has never touched the subject to the little kids. So could it be implicit in the name? It can be, could be. I don't say it isn't or it is. But it's not explicit in the message. The message concerns only fighting militant atheism. That was what Fatima is about, is fate against those that try to destroy and to discredit our fate, the militant atheism that came from the communism. But there is also a militant atheism that is coming now from capitalists, from people who believe only in the power of money. And so there is out there in this modern society, there is a militant atheism. When you can think about it, it's the world of the universities, the world of the politics, the world of culture, the world of culture, the mass media. You see, even in this country, they all reject religious symbols. They want to be somehow hygienic, so don't touch anything about religion. Although this is a Christian country, but you cannot assume, you cannot call Canada as a Christian country. Not anymore. It wouldn't be politically correct to call Canada as a Christian country because politics are against it, and to such a denomination, there is no such a thing as Canada being a Christian country. Although it is, but the politics deny it. They deny it in so many ways, and they repel it. And they repel it in so many ways. So there is a militant atheism out there. There is. By the powerful of this world, you know. You see, the world of the universities, the world of culture, the world of the mass media, the world of politics, almost everywhere, we are surrounded by militant atheism. Enforced atheism, where our faith, our Christian faith, is just tolerated. It's just tolerated. We cannot affirm it in public, and so forth. So this is the reality. So the militant atheism coming from the communist countries has stopped, but we have one from capitalist countries that has been enforced, that is being enforced here and there. They somehow want to eradicate Christianity from the culture. Well, maybe one day we speak about it. But this is the situation. So we close that chapter of the popes. And now what we want to say in these coming episodes about Fatima, it's... on these words, what did the little shepherds see? This is what we are concerned for this program and the next programs. What did they see? What did they see? What did they experience? Maybe more than see. What did they experience? So we are now focused not on the message yet, not that is what would they, what did they hear, but in the visuals, what did they see? As far as touching, there has never been question about it. There was nothing they touched. There was nobody they touched. So there is no touching in these apparitions. But there is seeing and hearing. So seeing and hearing. And then we will see then, we want to study what did they see. And you see, you heard me in Spanish, todos los tontos se les aparece la Virgen, all, so translating it in English, all mentally sick people, they think they have seen the Blessed Virgin Mary. All mentally sick people think they have seen the Blessed Virgin Mary. The church has to be careful, because there are many that claim that they have seen, and yet all there is a mental disease. So we have to be careful. We have to be careful, and the church has always been be careful. And the first thing that we do, and that was done in Fatima, is to analyze the mental soundness, the mental health of these three kids, and see if there is nothing wrong with them mentally. And that has to be analyzed, because we cannot run the risk that some mentally unbalanced person comes up with because there are diseases. There are diseases, we all know that. There are mental diseases that provoke visions. Now, we have to make sure that those visions and those apparitions were not provoked by mental diseases. And of course, but in Fatima we have two things. We have what they have seen, but also what they have heard. So let us put it this way. Even if what they have seen was provoked, just imagine the hypothesis that what these three kids have seen, it was mentally provoked by a disease. But then you still have to come to terms, you still have to confront what they have heard. And very difficult what they have heard, the message that they have heard would be coming from a mental disease. Because things that they said that they would happen, they indeed happened. So I don't think that comes from a mental disease. So here, Fatima is well studied. And so we are going to study first the things that that they have seen, what they have experienced. And that means right from the beginning, not just the apparitions of our Blessed Mother, but also the apparitions of the angel. There was an angel that appeared to the little kids before, and so we are concerned also about that. And also about the last apparition. In the last apparition was made up of visions too, so we will speak about the visuals of Fatima after a little pause. Welcome back, brothers and sisters. And here we are dealing with what the little shepherds have heard, and have seen. About what they have heard, I must say something, although we will come back to it. the comparison between Fatima and this other apparition that has 40 years have passed, and the local bishop. I don't know why so many people flock to Medjugorje when the local bishop of Medjugorje, and we are already in the third local bishop of Medjugorje, he has not approved it locally. And since there is lots of fuss about Medjugorje, it looks like now the Vatican stepped in to see what's there. And the latest that I know, it's this Pope, Francis, although he approved pilgrimages to the place because, you know, where the church reunites, there is the church. Church means is ecclesia from Greek. And from Greek, ecclesia means assembly. And so there, Medjugorje is a place where people assembles, so the church is there, and the Vatican cannot fail to acknowledge that things that people gathers there. I hear that when people gathers into a place many, many, many times, that place becomes sacred. It somehow is the way the Muslims work, you see. It is when Jerusalem has fallen for the Muslims, Aladdin came, and you know, the patriarch of Jerusalem, he was extending the rug for him to pray wherever. Aladdin came to visit a church, and the patriarch would extend the rug for him to pray, because there is a lot of Christianity in Islam. Maybe one day I'll tell you about it. But the Aladdin always refused to pray in those sacred places. And in the end, since the patriarch was always extending, he came to the Nativity Church and he extended the rug, came to the Church of the Holy Sepulchre and extended the rug. And wherever Aladdin would come, the patriarch would follow and extend the rug for him to pray. And in the end, Aladdin told him, "Look, I always refuse to pray in the places where you extended the rug, because if I pray there, that becomes a Muslim sacred place. That becomes a Muslim sacred place. And I didn't want to make of all your churches Muslim sacred places." So Aladdin was a nice man. "I didn't want to make all these places sacred places." So to say, you know, these people that gather there in Medjugorje, somehow it's a sacred place because sacred people gather there. And even miracles, I hear that even miracles have been reported, and conversions and so forth. And the church had to acknowledge that, and so had to give permission for the gathering of people, the making of the pilgrimage, which the diocese always denied, although the Franciscans, going against the diocese rules, they start doing pilgrimages. That's a fact. They start doing pilgrimage when pilgrimage were not approved. Only now they are approved by the Vatican. But my point is this. According to message, you see, in Lourdes and in Guadalupe and in Fatima, the message that our Blessed Mother gives to the visionaries are small message that you can keep in your mind and easy to make a transcription afterwards, because they are small messages, not big messages. So you go home but in the case of Lucia, although she wrote it, she didn't know how to write and how to read, but later on she learned and she wrote it down and she wrote a book. But long before that, what she what she remembered, she said it again and again and again and again for all the interrogators. You know, this canonical formigaun that came from Lisbon, he interrogated the kids many times, in separate and in together. And everything is written from these interrogations. Even the parish priest of Fatima interrogated the kids. So it's easy. So when the kids said what the Blessed Mother said, apart from the secrets that they didn't want to reveal, all the other things, the dialogues, they just mentioned them. They revealed them. Now my point is that Medjugorje produces a message every day. Some of these messages are big. I mean, I can't see it. I can't see that the visionary, whoever receives this message, is there with paper and pencil and writes it down and then stops our Blessed Mother saying, wait a moment, I didn't get that last word. I mean, because they are complex and big messages, I don't think they are dictated from heaven, that they came from heaven. And Pope Francis has said it clearly in Italian. Hanno fatto di Maria la postina del cielo. They have made of our Blessed Mother the postman, in this case the postwoman from heaven. You know, this postwoman that comes every day delivering messages. That's hard to believe, and such big messages. It's hard to believe not just for me, it's the Vatican. It's 40 years from the apparitions and they are not yet approved. So this is a different thing from Fatima and any other messages where the messages are very short. Because it's according to what we know about our Blessed Mother. Her words are very short in the Gospels. She doesn't have discourses. The only discourse she has is the Magnificat, where she had really a little speech. Apart from that, is phrases here, sentences here and that. So according to what we know of our Blessed Mother. Anyway, so we are concerned for this chapter what the visions, what the Jacinta Francisco and the Lucia have seen. Now, you must the way it was, or the way it was is that Lucia had full communication with our Blessed Mother, because she answered questions, she asked questions, she saw. Jacinta did not have full communication with our Blessed Mother. She saw and she heard, but she never interrogated our Blessed Mother, and our Blessed Mother never addressed her. Our Blessed Mother addressed the three of them, but particular Lucia. She was the one in the interlocutor. She was the one that would keep a dialogue with our Blessed Mother. And as far as Francisco, he sees, but it looks like he doesn't hear. He doesn't hear. Francisco doesn't hear. So Jacinta sees and hears, but doesn't enter into dialogue with our Blessed Mother. Lucia, everything. Jacinta, half of it. And Francisco only sees it. And as a matter of fact, in the beginning, he not even sees. The first apparition, when the two girls are already kneeling down and praying and seeing, Lucia tells Francisco, kneel down. Kneel down. And because Francisco comes, now that it's going to rain and thunder is coming and you kneel down to pray, now is not time to pray. Let us gather the sheep and let's go home. But they were kneeling down because they were seeing already our Blessed Mother, Jacinta and Francisco. And And then she said, and Jacinta told Francisco, kneel down. And Francisco knelt down just because he was very obedient, very humble and very obedient, but he was seeing nothing. And then Lucia even inquired to our Blessed Mother, Francisco is not seeing you. Francisco is not seeing you. And it looks like our Blessed Mother told Lucia, let him start to pray, then he will see me. Let him start to pray that he will see me. And eventually, then he saw. He saw, and in all the other apparitions also saw. But he never heard. He never heard. As a matter of fact, to know, to get to know what our Blessed Mother said, he would have to interrogate either Jacinta or Lucia. So, we are concerned with what they have seen. And Jacinta says, dress. That's the way Jacinta explains what they have seen. Dressed in white, with a chain of gold around their neck, extending down to her breast. That's the way she is describing our Blessed Mother. Her head was covered with a white mantle. Yes, very white. I don't know, but it was whiter even than milk. You know, little shepherds, that's the whitest thing they knew, milk, which covered her to the feet, all embroidered with gold, the mantle of our Blessed Mother. We don't see the dress. We see the dress inside the mantle, but she is all covered with the mantle, the same mantle from the head till down, which is different from others' apparitions. And this is white, and it's embroidered in gold. That's what we see in the images of Fatima, embroidered in gold. So a real image, it has to be embroidered in gold. We have seen some other statues of Fatima that are not embroidered in gold. Well, those are not the ones that the kids have seen. And she said, how beautiful. She kept her hands together in this way. And so Jacinta goes up a stand and puts the hands like the Blessed Virgin Mary put. And then the child rose from the stool, joined their hands at the breast, imitating the vision of our Blessed Mother. So this is what they have seen. Jacinta is the one more expansive and sensitive to beauty, could not contain within her the supernatural joy that overwhelmed her, and could not stop exclaiming, what a beautiful lady. Ah, what a beautiful lady. She was repeating this in Portuguese. And Lucia told her and her brother to keep secret, to say nothing, because she had problems already with a previous vision in 1915, a swift vision that Lucia had long before the apparition of the angel in 1916. And she told her mother, and that was her mistake, because her mother was very positivist, you know. Her mother said, never believed in Fatima, that's for a fact. Her mother and the parish priest of Fatima, they never believed in Fatima, in the apparitions. And so you see, and we don't hide that. And she was going, and while she was going and dancing and jumping, Jacinta was like that, dancing and humping on the way home, which is 2 kilometers, is the very same way of the Stations of the Cross. If you go there to Fatima, that's the way that the little shepherds traveled from their home to the places of the apparition. This is now the Stations of the Cross. So she was jumping, glad. What a beautiful lady. What a beautiful lady. And when Lucia saw that, Well, well, I'm seeing that you are not going to keep secret. No, no, no. I'm going to keep secret, she, Jacinta said. I'm going to keep secret. But she kept repeating, what a beautiful lady. And of course, when she got when she entered home, first thing she said, what a beautiful lady. What a beautiful lady. And out of the blue, what lady? Her mother asked. And then she blushed and she couldn't retract it, because Jacinta never in her entire life she lied. So she had to tell the truth. She had to tell the truth. And then Francisco blamed her for saying so. But when Francisco was asked to corroborate what Jacinta had seen, he had to say, yes, she's right. We have seen our Blessed Mother. And, of course, their mother didn't believe, or at least at that moment, but their father, right from the beginning, he believed it. He believed it. My kids, I've never seen a lie in the mouth of my kids. So why would they tell a lie now? They have never lied. So he believed. He believed. And this Marto is a very handsome man, and of whom I will tell you later on in the next episode.
You have been listening to Fatima, Where Heaven and Earth Have Met, with Father George Amaro. Thank you for joining us today, and we pray that this program is an encouragement to you. Please join us here on Radio Maria Canada, where Father George Amaro will continue his teaching about our Blessed Mother and the significance of Fatima.